Welcome to the Buy Box Bandits podcast.
Yeah, everyone who's live as well as listeners, welcome back to the Buy Box Bandits podcast. We're back after about a two-month hiatus right here, but we will not let you guys down once again. We're going to be back with weekly episodes with your favorite Amazon shelves to help you guys make more money, pass the time when you're doing shipments, whatever you guys need basically with that. Also, we want to thank our sponsor, SellerAmp. Make sure if you haven't already, you get a free trial at SellerAmp.com right there. And then also, if this is the first Buy Box Bandits you're listening to, we've actually been doing the show for almost 2 years, about 20 months right there. So we have over 120 episodes with a vast span of retail arbitrage, online arbitrage, wholesale sellers, everything like that, basically. So I figure we should all give a kind of like an individual update on where we've all been as of late, and just kind of major life shifts and such that have been going on basically. And then we'll, you know, rip, obviously do some banter. We're live here with you guys too, so we're seeing stuff in the chat as well. So if you got questions, please let us know in the chat. If you got banter, let us know in the chat too, right? If you think Danny's haircut's whack, say something, right? If you think you miss Garrett's setup, say something, right? But yeah, cool. Okay, so Danny, where have you been the past couple months? Give us an overall update.
Past couple months, I've been helping Miles move down to Miami. You know, he needs to get things like toilet paper. He's not able to get himself, stuff like that. Random stuff.
Oh, that's not true.
Scheduling, you know, internet, yeah, you know.
Yeah, like telling him.
That was a pain. Yeah,
certain things sleeping on, got to help him out. No, but I've been working, selling on Amazon per usual, but mostly been focused on building a software that should be coming out next couple of weeks.
Info coming on that soon. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it. Just like head down grinding. A lot of money to be made and focus.
Are you talking about any of the PL Shopify stuff you've been working on, or is that kind of like
top? Yeah, but that's like kind of it's just like back burner, because that like takes a really long time. Like now, I'm waiting for stuff to come in from the manufacturer, and then also the boxes to come in from the supplier. But even after I'd already ordered some of the sample box, I'm going to wind up changing the design. So it's like, I got to order it again. It just, yeah. And that takes 2 weeks to come. That's a back burner project, but it's still happening. It's just like, there's not much I can do right now.
So with that, with like, obviously the information that you're comfortable with sharing with that new excursion, new experience, what has been like the biggest shock in terms of everything that has gone into that in the back of the burner that you may not have expected so far?
I thought it was going to be, I mean, I'm probably speaking too soon, but like, I thought, all right, I'm going to speak more. So I don't sound like a dick, but like, bro, none of this shit's really like that hard. You just got to like put your mind to it, kind of plan it out. Like, I don't
really, like, if someone else can do it, you can fucking do it too.
Yeah. Like, it takes work. Like, I'm not going to design a box. So I paid someone $500 on Fiverr. I found the best rated person on Fiverr, gave them exactly what they needed, gave them no room to fuck it up. And that's it. And then I'll get that back, send it to the people in China. They'll send it to me. It's really not difficult. I guess I was more so surprised it's not too difficult, but I don't want to speak too soon. So
we'll see.
And in terms of the Amazon stuff, all wholesale, just chugging as usual, same sorts of category and product stuff?
Or? Wholesale, some Walmart stuff popping up.
We did
some O'Haley when Miles sends it to me.
To the crib.
Me and Miles ordered a couple of stuff to our
all my arbitrage to the crib too, even though we're paying sales tax in Florida. But yeah,
I'm just having fun with Amazon.
You're working a lot now too, now that I'm down here as well.
Danny's always worked hard. He's always worked hard.
Yeah, I mean, always like.
Well, the nice thing is we're on the same schedule now. So like, we're playing basketball at the same time, and then we're laughing. Like I know Danny's down there grinding.
The one thing I've always struggled with though is content. So I'm just trying to get more regimented, because I'm regimented with what I need to do for business, like that people don't see, but the content I suck.
Luckily, you got Uncle Flips writing the thread hooks and such, so you're good.
Like, that's always probably been something that you haven't been super, super passionate about, though, which is why that it kind of takes the back burner.
Yeah, I'm trying to put it to the front, trying to get on the front burner.
Yeah, or else G-Bot is gonna catch you on that Twitter followers.
How many Twitter followers do you have?
Just about
dude, six. The fucking SellerAmp Twitter caught me.
Yeah, like, SellerAmp Twitter's about to hit 10K.
I swear, last week Miles was like, it's at 5K, and today he's like, about to hit 10K. I'm like, what the fuck's going on here?
That's so skewed though, because it has Warner and Miles' funnel directly attached.
Well, so do you though. So does Wi-Fi Astronaut.
Facts. But yeah, I don't take advantage of it enough.
Yeah. Good point right there. But yeah, for anyone who's unaware, I actually moved down to Miami from Pennsylvania as well, basically in late April, and then officially as of June, basically. So that was a big adjustment, basically. But it was the best decision I think I could have ever made, basically. I like the weather, being around a lot more entrepreneurs and stuff. It does sacrifice some scalability in terms of I can't FBM the way I could there unless we got a warehouse down here, which would require a lot of wholesale. Basically, but since we've last spoken too, there's been some really good OA sales. Like I cleaned up, I went crazy on this one sale early April when I was still back in Pennsylvania, and had a couple consecutive like 15K days in May, which was absolutely lit, basically. And then cleaned up, similar deal happened in mid April. And then just in general, right, state of the union online arbitrage wise, for those of you guys, this is your first go around, maybe your first year, basically, it's about to get a lot easier. Back to school is coming up now.
This is like the first big one this weekend with all the July 4th sales, and that goes straight into.
Yeah. So like, I don't think you guys should be super like worried about buying stuff, speculating and everything, but definitely keep an eye that there's going to be, a lot of stuff coming up the next couple months, basically. And if you're prepared network wise, capital wise, relationship wise, skill wise, you're going to be able to really clean up and everything. And it's cool, man. So you guys both really blew up in like June and July of 2021. And then I really was able to crack like six figures a month in August of 2021, which is heavy back to school driven. For those of you guys who aren't familiar, basically, my first year I did mainly FBM. And then I went to the Miami Sellers Conference, and Danny had just done like 300K in a month, and it blew my mind because he made like 60K profit.
Basically. Was that the chlorine stuff?
No, that was other stuff. That was like right when
that was the bread and butter stuff. Yeah.
Because remember how we thought he was quitting with all the school stuff. And then he's like, yeah, I'm going to Miami to buy chlorine. Actually, tell that story while we're here. You might as well.
Which one?
The chlorine, the Miami chlorine one. You told it on stream the other night, but we haven't heard on.
No, I mean, like I had known about.
Chlorine. You rented a Tesla while you were there, too.
Yeah.
I had known about this chlorine lead from shout out Jay Carter. And I was trying to find it, called a bunch of Costco. Like I knew it was only from Costco, called a bunch of Costco's, found out South Florida, because I couldn't go to the West Coast because that was Jay Carter's territory. So I was like, all right, let me see where else. So I was calling like Texas, Florida, found like a string of Costco's in South Florida who were familiar with the SKU and knew it and said it would be coming back in stock. They told me the date it was going to be delivered to like the distribution center. And then from there, it goes to all the stores. So when they told me that date, it was like 2 days out, flew down next day, flew another kid down from Jersey. It eventually got to the distribution center, got sent to the stores, cleaned up, shipped it back to Jersey.
Sold it all.
On the plane. If I could have had more, oh my God. On the plane back to Jersey, sold all of them, all like
made like
297.
And I remember we were in the Delaware warehouse, and you were sure they were still selling at that point too. Remember
when possibly. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they had all sold when I,
or maybe we were just looking.
Yeah, it had to have been something else. Cause I had, as soon as I got home, like the work was just beginning. I had to then package up all of them.
And cause you had, so you flew down and then sent pallets home, right?
Six pallets. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a picture of the
still cleaned up.
Oh yeah.
Big one. And then dude called UPS. I was like, you guys gotta bring some trucks. Like four UPS trucks in the driveway, like parked waiting and shit.
Weren't you just able to like go into Costco's recently and start buying from them?
Nah. Well, so on the last one, on the very last one, when I was checking out, he took my card. He like didn't believe it. He like took my card, pulled it up on the computer, and they have a very like archaic system, so it was in like it looked like a computer programmer code. And he's like, why is there like 100 some checkouts here? He's like, that can't be right. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. And then he like talked to his manager. They realized it was true, and they were like, you have to leave. And they never gave me the card back. I couldn't open a Costco membership for a while, but I actually recently just got one, so we're good there.
Weren't you like changing shirts and hats and
yeah
stuff?
Yeah. You walk in, hat, next time take it off. We were looping it.
Oh, looping.
Like they would tell us like, oh, you can't do that. Like, could not care less.
That's the action taking mentality that holds so many.
What am I gonna do? Not do it?
Yeah. What are you gonna do? Just guarantee you don't make money. Dude,
there was one time where we were getting kicked out of a store. Now this might be a little problematic. And I was like, all right, we'll just come back tomorrow with the other person, my friend, and he'll do it. I hid chlorine around the store. I'm not joking. I hid buckets in other – because you know how Costco sometimes –
Try to hide it behind, like, the paper towels
yeah,
and stuff?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was hiding behind, like, Keurigs or, like, the big – like, something. And I would move it, hide, like, six, go to another one, like, mark down where it is, text it to my friend, get it the next day.
Yeah,
dedication. That's what it takes to get to the bag. Yeah, you either find a way to like figure it out. Like,
yeah. Dude, Mason's in the chat. ODDing at Costco. Yeah,
100%. even as simple as flying down to Florida in order to buy those things, even that alone would hold so many people back.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
If it didn't work out, then it was just like a nice little.
If it doesn't work out, then you have to go, like, you have to do what you didn't want to do anyway. But going after opportunity is what gives you the chance, right? The other option, you guarantee you don't get it, basically. But yeah, so I'm as of June 1st, I'm a Miami resident. We're doing our thing. Danny and I are in the same building. We're working often. We're setting up wholesale stuff and other things. I think we're getting into a nice routine and everything. Hopefully we can sustain it. And everything. But yeah, that's basically the update for me is big life changes. Amazon revenue has dropped a lot. May was lit. I didn't buy much at May at all, but I did decent in June. And then with back to school, it's about to get a lot easier too. So I'm actually like, I was buying some soccer stuff earlier this week and such, and then probably some football gear coming out too. So should be able to clean up and do really good in August. August is a really, really good month for FBM too. Competition goes down, price goes up. You can sell stuff same day. And then warning, right? If you're looking at a lot of the Keepa charts, the beautiful thing is you can see historical data on these products. A lot of products will go to the moon August 15th, August 10th, August 20th, right? And then you'll see the competition was really low, but people stayed in stock. It's the big brains FBM again. And then a bunch of bozos FBA'd it all. And then the price went down September 5th, September 5th, September 1st. September 10th, and a bunch of people lost money when they could have just FBM'd it and sold it a lot quicker, replenished a lot quicker, and not dealt with price volatility, basically. So a lot of you guys should be looking to FBM stuff for back to school. And yes, that is going to require you to be in one-day handling time or even zero-day handling time if you're a savage, right?
You got to be zero-day handling time. What are you?
It's going to require you to be checking if you're getting the buy box on different listings. Like, you can't just list something and then, like, be surprised when it doesn't sell. No, you're either getting the buy box or not. And you got to audit why, right? Are you using a repricer? Yes or no, right? Are you, do you have your handling time set up correctly? Yes or no? Unfortunately, a lot of you guys too, some of you guys are accidentally in vacation modes. Like, go check if that's the case too. Cause a lot of you guys' accounts just get put in vacation mode immediately. So you want to make sure you're
I've heard that happened to a bunch of
people. I think it's a default thing. Yeah, honestly.
No. Yeah. But the other thing about a lot of those back to school listings, even if the product that you're looking at isn't necessarily profitable, you can still learn so much, right? Whether it be going back to the last season, seeing who took advantage of that pricing increase and the price volatility and the seasonal aspect, and then learning from their storefronts, right? Or being able to identify other opportunities that maybe you haven't thought of, right? Maybe it's not the backpack. Maybe it's a sharpener. Maybe it's soccer cleats, or maybe it's clothes or sweatshirts or hats or whatever the case may be. Those storefronts that are on those back to school listings will then connect you and alert you to other opportunities as they come up.
Very true. Cool. All right.
What were you smirking at, Danny?
No, Mason's comment.
Yeah.
Said, so what is a buy box?
I mean, for me, it's been pretty much business as usual. The big change that's happened the past probably 4 to 6 months is it's pretty much been 100% wholesale for the past like 3 months or so. So that was a big initiative and we're super pumped about that. But other than that, numbers are great. Margins are great. Wholesale. And the big thing with wholesale is it just makes a lot of purchasing easier, right? Bigger orders, more sustainable orders, price action that a lot of people can't compete with. So that's been the huge change for us, and we're just gonna keep putting gas on the fire, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean you're not gonna say no to some of the OA stuff in Q4. That's for sure. That.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, yeah, money's there for OA. Like, why not?
Yeah, we're bag chasers. We chase the bag. Yeah, we chase the bag right there.
100%.
Cool. Okay. Sweet. Yeah. You ran a marathon as well, Garrett. Right in April or February.
In Texas, Austin. Austin's a cool place. A cool, cool place.
It's still Miami, though. Yeah.
True.
We're trying to Miami pill Garrett. See if he.
Bro, that would be cool.
Yeah,
he said he was getting a place here.
Jimmy, hopefully Jimmy comes down, B flips. But yeah, if any of you guys in the Miami area, you know, hit my DMs on Twitter, basically, right there. But yeah, I figure we'll start hitting some of the chat as well right here. Got some Q&A going. I figure I'll
Shane, real quick, they do account for that.
Yeah. So for anyone curious, right? So if you put on 0 day handling time, Amazon knows different holidays and stuff and everything. So that's a good way to get extra buy box share. You're just gonna have to ship stuff quick.
Don't do it if you actually can't ship it. But like, reason why you shouldn't be able to.
Oh, especially if you're
even if you just have to print the labels that same day. If it goes out the following day, they're not really gonna audit that. But
yeah. I like to, if I do that, I'm getting that thing scanned in at UPS before 7 p.m. that day. So UPS stores usually close at 7. Get there before 7. Ship your shit out.
Yeah. How do you go back to last season? So yeah, Keepa allows us to do some pretty cool things, right? And so if you're on a backpack listing, there's likely data from last season and 2 days seasons before. And if you go to the buy box rotation, you could see the past 365 days of sellers into that rotation. Right. And so if you simply just count back, right, so how many months ago was last back to school season? And you're looking for those sellers that were selling at your desired price at that parameter of time. Right. So whether it be 8 months ago, 9 months ago, that buy box rotation will show you when that seller was last in the buy box. And then if you match that with the increased market, you can essentially identify the smart sellers that were doing the same sort of thing that you want to be doing this year. And by doing that, you can really keep tabs on those specific storefronts, right? So you create a folder in your the top of your screen.
Google Sheets. Yeah.
Yep. And so have like start favoriting back to school sellers, right? They're OA sellers. They're likely buying from similar places. And then as that time approaches, you can learn from their work, right? So when they start to add 4 or 5 products, well, those products are likely going to go up in demand shortly, price as well. And you can just obviously merchant fulfill them and still make the margins. But you could do that across every single season, every single holiday, right? For Thanksgiving, same sort of thing. If you pinpoint a handful of Thanksgiving products, go back to last year's buy box rotation, identify some of the sellers that were selling those items. Again, the hypothesis being they're probably going to do the same sort of thing this year and next year and probably other seasons as well. So it's just a good opportunity to really be alerted and keep tabs on different product opportunities.
Yeah, another really good product research method you guys should be using is Keepa Product Finder, where you can search for a specific criteria of item, i.e. 0 to 100,000 sales rank, Nike products that have gone down in competition recently or up in price recently, right? And Garrett, you have a really good YouTube video on
Keepa. I have a bunch of them. Yeah, I have a lot of good.
Go watch those, please. Like, that's super, super valuable stuff you guys should all be taking advantage of, basically. And that's so your YouTube isn't all out Amazon. It's Garrett Goral, G-O-R-A-L, right there. So if you search Keepa Product Finder, FBA, or Garrett Goral, it'll come up right there. So I really recommend you guys take advantage of that stuff. Yeah, we got some love for Wi-Fi in the chat. That's a vibe. Would you guys advise against men's boxers? No, there's actually – I was looking at a really, really good deal on those earlier today. Basically, yeah, ROI minimum, 35-40%, I would say.
Garrett, you're at 5K on Twitter. How are you catching me? What are you talking
about? I'm right under 6, bro. It's like 58.
I'm about
59.
To be at 10. You're not catching shit.
Yeah, but see,
I'm about to run away. I'm about to grab the phone and run away.
Once I'm writing all your threads, it's game over, G-Body. Unless you get the Flipster Miles ghostwriting package too.
Danny just doesn't have the consistency. I'm catching him. I promise. Promise. All right. My growth is like this. Danny's is like this.
In like a year or?
In the next 8 months.
Ooh. Might need to wager on this one right there.
No, because that'll give Danny the motivation of sex. He's so petty that will be the only thing making him.
That'd be cool. Yeah, let's actually bet on it.
Put two racks.
When using the seller app, two racks, bro. When using the seller app, I've been monitoring a listing and there's only 3 sellers on the listing. I see that the lowest FBA seller had 10 in stock, but I've watched over 20 sales in the live offers tab. Don't worry about the live offers tab. Data is very inaccurate. So much wealth is lost by not looking at the offers tab, basically.
If Amazon, the offers tab is stupid. It doesn't do anything.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
If Amazon's listed as a seller, should I buy products or send in as FBA or should I stay away? So Amazon simply being on a product shouldn't be enough to scare you away. Now, there's a couple things that you want to consider. A, if or how much they are sharing, right? And so if they're sharing 10% of the buy box or 5% of the buy box, what does that quantify to, right? Whether 5% of the buy box equals 200 sales or 2,000 sales. And that's a matter of what sort of level of competition are you going to be sharing the non-Amazon sales with? The other thing to keep in mind is Amazon can be on the product, but they just don't have to be winning the buy box, right? You'll see like the orange line here and then like the buy box line up here. That happens a bunch too, right? And so going back to the keep a product finder thing, just simply filtering out Amazon on the listing, you're naturally going to list some good opportunities because of those two scenarios that we just kind of went over, right? So you always, it's going to be a product by product basis in terms of A, is Amazon on the listing? B, are they sharing their buy box? C, what percentage of the buy box are they sharing? And then D, what does that quantify to in terms of actual tangible sales?
Absolute sauce right there. If you're using a prep center to do FBA, who does the FBA shipment prep work? Typically the prep center, although occasionally some will have weird systems around that where like you created, even though I think that makes no sense right there, but you'll have to kind of look into specifically right there. Could you change your shipping address within a week? Absolutely. Yeah. Just make sure it's a very, very good thing for all you guys. If you're ever changing your bank account info, your credit card info,
call ahead of time. That's the easiest way to get to lose access to the money inside your account is to do any of the
2 or 3 hours. Your heart still drops right there. A young flips or miles that happened in early 2020 when I was changing my bank account, basically. And yeah.
I think that was like in the beginning of when I knew you. I definitely remember that happening for sure.
Following me or new? Because we met in early 2021. Yeah.
Maybe not.
Because I would have remembered the second time. I don't know. Maybe it happened multiple. How do you see if Amazon is sharing buy box and how much? Yeah, Jay. So on Keepa, you're going to want to look where it says data and you want to click that. And then you want to click, it's the third option to the right, buy box statistics. And then you'll be able to see if Amazon's sharing, 30% or more of the buy box. So if they have 70% or less, typically something you want to go ahead and look into. Now, if a product is a really, really good sales rank, 1K, 3K, 1500, right? And Amazon's got 85% of the buy box share, yeah, that's a ton of sales to go around, right? And you just kind of got to audit how many other people are getting it. And
I mean, the cool thing is SellerArt makes it really easy, right? We don't really have to guess in terms of what number, right, different sales ranks equate to. Amazon or SellerArt gives us that, right? So if the product sells 10,000 times and Amazon's sharing 5% of the buy box, well, that's a good bit of sales. But if a product is selling and Amazon is sharing 10% of the buy box, but the whole product only moves 200 times, it's a bit of a different scenario, right? So use the information that SellerArt gives you. It makes it super, super easy, and use that to kind of make your decisions. Have you guys done a flash deal to run an FBM flip?
No, I wouldn't recommend that. I don't even know you can. I guess you can as an arbitrage show. No. Wholesale biz mostly in one category. Probably not, right?
No, it's starting to diversify, but there's definitely a bunch of opportunity outside of grocery, right? Something I like to do with wholesale is thinking about a lot of the hobbies that exist, right? Cycling, rock climbing, hiking. Inside each of those hobbies or like things to do, right? There's hundreds of small to medium sized brands that exist, right? Not necessarily the huge, massive ones that you think of, but maybe they have 10, 15 products. Maybe they do a couple hundred thousand in revenue across all the listings. Those are the perfect opportunities where you can join a market that's not completely saturated, where there's plenty of opportunity to still go around. And also with the smaller, medium sized brands, those are also going to be a little bit easier to win, right? You're not going after Febreze, right, and expect to make some sort of brand direct account. You're going after a brand that's not really recognizable, and there's a ton of opportunity in those sorts of things.
Is there any requirements for selling hazmat products? I think there's a waitlist, right? You kind of got to get it approved for. I never really looked too much into that.
From my experience, you have to get approved. You have to get like ungated and hazmat.
You have to get invited. I think they do it.
I think it's a wait list. Yeah, and like I know people have been years. Yeah. ROI percent threshold for OA products. Yeah, 30% minimum generally. Beauty grocery 25% is cool. Super low returns. Shoes 35% minimum. And then that's not including cash back. Now, if you're getting 10% cash back, maybe you do go a little bit lower, especially if it's, you know, really reliable cash back. Rakuten or some of these retailers that have good rewards programs as well. I'm a new seller, just going straight to wholesale, but I was thinking of doing OA at the same time to get sales under my belt as well as building connections with distributors. Would that be smart? Yeah, I mean, there's no rules, man. I think that's a great idea, though, definitely. And that OA is going to be easier to start, but harder to scale, and wholesale is going to be harder to start, easier to scale as well. You have to take Amazon's e-learning course online. Then you get
That's what I was talking about. I'm not sure when you did that deep sessions, but that is what I did. It could have changed now, but that is what I did.
Yeah, but I'm familiar with that. Yeah.
I remember doing that. I'd like to answer some questions.
Jay, I mean, I think all of us, the three of us, would probably agree to at least start with OA, get your feet wet, because a couple things are true. First things first, right? It's no secret that with more capital, you gain a lot more leverage in wholesale. It's not saying you can't be successful with $2,000 in wholesale getting started. But if you have $20,000, you're just naturally going to have a lot more leverage negotiating pricing. You're going to have a lot more brands open to you in terms of MLQs and things like that. But also the most important thing is you haven't really validated and gained the confidence in your purchasing. And so I think what all of us would probably recommend is start with OA, develop the confidence, develop the comprehension and the fluency of the data in the back end, and then gain that to use and start to compound your money. And then in 2, 3, 4 months, you look up, you have the confidence, you have the data fluency, and now you have an increased capital. So now you can start to get into wholesale organically rather than throw $10,000 at a PO in the beginning and hoping that it operates how you expected it would.
Yep. MOQ means min order quantity. Yes, absolutely.
And it's a question I get all the time is like a good amount to start with wholesale, right? It doesn't exist. You can be successful with a $2,000 to start. You can be successful with $20,000. But you're probably just going to have to work a little harder to find a brand or a supplier or a distribution company that allows a smaller order, allows a $2,000 order. But also, and more importantly, that order is profitable at $2,000, right? Because a lot of accounts, the more you spend, the more discounts you're inevitably able to get. And so that opens up a lot more product opportunity.
Garrett, how do you answer this question when someone asks it? Someone asks in the chat, why don't brands do wholesale themselves, or why don't they just sell the products themselves?
It's the same reason why NBA players have agents and they don't do it themselves, right? Their specialty is playing basketball, right? They're not necessarily experienced in negotiation and in the money side of things. It's the same sort of thing. Brands or manufacturers want to deal with product production, want to deal with the marketing and things like that, right? We all know, and I'm assuming most people in this chat have some sort of experience on Amazon. It's a different beast in terms of how to build their listing, in terms of keeping products in stock, and dealing with customer service, and dealing with Amazon customer service, all those sorts of things. It's essentially another full-time job, and some brands just don't want to be able to do it. Also, the other point to make is the liquidity aspect is probably pretty huge in terms of brands, right? Mm-hmm. We help a brand out by giving them money up front for products, for the product liability. Now we're liable for the product for the months of stock that we purchased. But from the brand's perspective, they don't have the product. They offloaded that. And now they have cash up front that they can do other ways. So I think it helps and boosts their cash flow situation a lot better in terms of the sellers taking on the liability up front of all the products that we purchased. So I think it's twofold. A, either they don't want to deal with it. They want their hands clean and do other things. And B, cash flow, I would assume, just comes a lot more fluently and cleaner.
And there are some brands that have probably ran the numbers and the statistics, and they've seen that they can simply make more money selling it wholesale, getting cash up front, reinvesting that, rather than waiting, selling it direct to consumer via Amazon or even selling it to Amazon. And they simply just make more money by having multiple wholesale buyers instead of going direct to consumer. But that's also the traditional business model in terms of product production. Like there's a product, there's a company, they produce the product, and then they wholesale it to Walmart, Costco, Target. That is like the traditional way to do business. Most businesses don't go direct to consumer. Direct to consumer is, it's not new, but it's like really exploded in the past 10 years. It's kind of a newer idea.
Fire, any suggestions on vetting out wholesalers? Got a feeling some I found are only selling the remaining quantity they couldn't sell themselves on Amazon. Old trendy products. So thoughts on vetting wholesalers. Bruno has a feeling some of the ones he's talking to are only selling the remaining quantity they couldn't sell on Amazon and so forth, basically.
Well, so the good thing is, you know, if a brand is, it has some sort of exclusive agreement, right? That brand or product or category, you look in the buy box statistics, you know if there's a dominant seller. So you can audit that and filter that out pretty early. The thing in the sort of the drawback of like the supplier distribution approach with wholesale is that it's a little bit harder to qualify who and what kind of account you're talking with, right? It's hard to qualify the pricing up front without putting in the legwork of actually winning the account. Because you don't necessarily know what potential pricing you're dealing with, right? I would also, I mean, look for a couple of things. A, that the sales rep that you're working with has a professional domain. So at their company, you're not going to be working with companies that are talking to you in Gmails or stuff like that. I also would probably avoid any sort of Telegram or WhatsApp purchasing.
Yes. Right?
You want to be sending money through some sort of authorized channel, whether it be directly to their wired to their bank account or whatever the case may be. And third, you could ask for really any information you want, pictures of their warehouse. Obviously you have their address. You can Google location or Google map their location. You would hope to see a big warehouse there, right? A lot of things you can ask for. You can look for reviews or ask if they have another buyer that you could, you know, talk to just to audit. You could ask for any number of things, business license. There's no shortage of ways you can audit these people. It's just a matter of how deep you want to get and if you want willing to kind of use that time to do so.
Sweet. Absolute fire right there. That's funny. Wash hands. Yeah, for like the clapping emoji. That's a vibe. You're not able to return products as per wholesale agreement. That's going to be dependent on the specific vendor you're
working. That's not necessarily true, but it's a good idea to consider that as true for every wholesale deal you do. You should not be trying to return products.
I mean, and the reason why I like the brand direct approach more is that you can make a lot of the qualifying in the product level up front, right? If you start with a product on Amazon, you can qualify based on the trend. You can qualify based on the sales rank and the competition and the price point, whether Amazon is in or out of stock, right? You can make all of these qualifications. And so the last piece is reaching out to the brand, positioning yourself with that brand, and ultimately winning the account and then worry about the price on the back end, right? You can make all the qualifications so you're not left with a product that either is not on Amazon, doesn't sell on Amazon, or isn't super viable on Amazon, right? That happens more frequently with the supplier approach, right? Because you put in all the legwork, you get the account, you get the catalog, and now inside that catalog, you have products that are on Amazon, you have products that are not on Amazon, and then you have products that don't sell well on Amazon, right? So you do all the legwork to make the account, to get the account, talk to the sales rep, then you get a catalog. Now then you still have to qualify the product. When with the brand direct approach, you can kind of do that in the beginning, right? So those are like the two ways that you can approach wholesale with either the supplier distribution model or the brand direct approach. And I just kind of like the brand direct approach just because from the product level basis, you can front load a lot of the qualification, right?
Sweet. Yeah, love it, man. Any way to switch bank accounts without losing access? Absolutely. Great question. So you can call Amazon and say, hey, I just want you to notify the system. I'm going to be changing my bank account, changing my address, changing my credit card. And they'll, you know, kind of put it in the system that you're doing that right there. Could you cancel the order after we get a receipt from Gating? Yes. Don't really. Kind of bad juju right there, but you totally can.
Yeah. Chalk that cost up to the game. Take it on the
chin. Buy stuff. What's nice. Yeah. Buy stuff that's profitable to Ungate. You know, don't worry about doing separate Ungating orders. Just buy stuff when you find it profitable. Right there. Damn, it feels good to be back on the pod, man. Seriously, it feels good.
Unicorn, if you're talking about like wholesale stuff, that relationship is more valuable than the purchase or like the $1,000, $500, whatever you lose from that particular order. If you're talking about wholesale, the relationship that you have with that brand or sales rep account, whatever, is going to, at the end of the day, more long-term, be a lot more valuable than that one order, right? You got to remember, it's a change of switch. It's a mental switch. You're not buying products from a cart anymore, you're not adding products to a cart, right? You're talking to people, you're dealing with relationships, and you're managing these relationships. And that's something you're positioning with that brand, with that account, is going to be extraordinarily more valuable in how you handle it, right? Because that ultimately is the competitive advantage, right? Danny can call his sales rep with one of his accounts. Maybe he and that sales rep have a really good relationship. So now he can ask for an extra 10, 15% that maybe I can't because I don't have that same sort of relationship, right? That relationship is your competitive advantage inside your wholesale business, right? It's Danny's ability to call his guy, be like, hey, how are the kids? What's up? I saw you went to the Yankees game yesterday. How'd that go? You know what I'm saying? And that allows him to get better discounts than myself.
Yep. Is there a certain limit to buy an OA to make decent money or just buy what I can afford? Yeah. I mean, if you don't worry about limits on certain sites, you're going to figure that out as you go. Every site's different, especially if you're new. Don't worry about that. Inventory is going to typically be available at FBA between a week and 3 weeks, depending on the warehouse, the inventory, the quality of that quantity of it as well. Quick swear, get your card up if you just turned 18. So congrats on turning 18. It sounds like right there, you know, kind of that what I just did was the Discover It student card to start.
Mm-hmm. Maz, you sell a couple ungating guides, right? Steven was asking.
Oh, that's banter. Steven's the boy.
Even I know it was bad.
I know. He's still the pod. We didn't do an episode with him, too. Homie just did 140K for June from, like, I met homie, like, a year ago, like, 10K a month. That's crazy right there. Until the order. So that's not true. They're just giving you an automated system. Just resubmit, and then they'll approve it right there. Yeah, we're getting a lot of love from all the ungating homies.
Yeah, a lot of – dude, cool. Ungating is – easy. People like to focus on that for some reason.
Well, because the problem is there's so many people that learned about Amazon 2-3 years ago and that see it as a really difficult thing. And unfortunately, they're upset in a lot of my Instagram and YouTube comments too, right there. But luckily for you guys, man, yeah, it's really easy. You can watch my YouTube tutorial on it, Fletcher Miles Ungating, and everything.
Oh, that's a picture comment right there, Miles. That's your next promo.
Mia's great on she's a good follow on Twitter. Right there. Cool. I figure we'll hop off for this episode, boys. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Sounds good. Good to have you back on, Sir Wi-Fi. Good to be back on in general, too. Thank you guys for sticking with us. We got 80 of you guys live on YouTube right now, man. Make sure you guys follow all of us online if you're not already. And we'll be back with weekly episodes. Now, where can you listen to Buy Box Bandits if you're just checking out on this YouTube stream? Right? It's on all podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, YouTube. We got the Buy Box Bandits YouTube right there. And everything, tons of stuff like that. Appreciate you guys watching, showing some love in the chat too. And we will see you guys for the next episode. Have a great night, everyone.
Peace out.